Starbuck. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up!
Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hi, I'm Kathleen, and you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We are a left-wing political podcast made by young activists for young activists. And today I'm joined by Sian, who was at a concert late last night, and because of this, her voice has dropped 2 or 3 octaves.
Hi. an embarrassment.
Yeah, everything all right over there, Sian? You doing okay?
I'm all right, don't worry. Just give me a couple of minutes, I've got this.
Okay, she's got this. All right, cool. Thank you for joining us again. This week, I think there's only a couple of things to talk about because really those are the big issues of the day. And of course, we've got to kick off with the refugees, Gary Lineker story. I'm sure, you know, everyone's kind of, I think, seen what's happened here. But essentially, if you've been living under a rock, Gary Lineker, who's a football pundit and a commentator, who also has political links and roots, made a comment on Twitter about the refugee crisis, which some people found a bit insensitive and some people agreed with and some people didn't. And as a result, the BBC took him off Match of the Day. And then Ian Wright and Alan Shearer, who is 2 co-presenters and a lot of the other football pundits on the show, then decided to have some kind of informal strike and didn't come into work. And that as a result, there was a limited Match of the Day on. This has completely blown up because, of course, it's Gary Lineker. So it was always going to blow up. He's such a famous celebrity. And then as well, of course, you'd want, you know, I mean, the BBC, I think, have just handled this so badly. And, you know, I'd always say to anyone who's a big fan of the BBC, I think even this you can't explain. It's always bad news when the BBC has to report on what the BBC have done wrong. And I'd say that's always like a really bad telltale sign that something's gone bad at BBC HQ. And I don't know, Sian, have you ever seen W1A?
No, I haven't.
So I would say everyone go and watch it. If you, it is to BBC television and to the BBC what the thick of it was to politics in 2010 to 2015. Just a complete accurate but and nevertheless hilarious representation of what was going on. I mean, you know, Sian, what's your take on this? And are you a football fan?
No, not at all. But I think this is great. Yeah, I think what he's done is brilliant. I mean, can you imagine if the final downfall of the Tories is Gary Lineker, the man who does the crisp adverts? I mean, obviously there's much more to him than that, but no, I just love it. It's brilliant. And I love the way that everyone has kind of like rallied around him and like come to support him with it as everything, like Ian Wright and Alex Scott and them. I think it's brilliant. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he's not a political commentator. He's a sports journalist and he's also freelance. So, you know, it's not like the BBC, you know, do this kind of thing to Neil. That's it. You know, it's just like, it just, I think it speaks volumes. You know, it just kind of says a lot about, you know, the BBC is supposed to be this like impartial, you know, organisation that represents everyone. And, you know, I just don't think they're achieving that at the moment. So,
yeah, I agree. I think there's got to be clearly a set standard and it's unfair to judge some people by some standards and then other people by other standards. And if you are a believer in free speech, if you are, then that means free speech for all, not just free speech for the people you agree with, and then a shutdown and cancellation of people that don't. I think actually the unsung hero in this is actually Ian Wright, who very quickly said after Gary Lineker, you know, was pulled from the show that actually he wouldn't go on the show either. And I wonder in other political shows, I think it's because that team, you can clearly see by watching the show, they're really good friends and they all get on quite well. And I wonder really whether other people would do that as well. And I wonder if on other TV shows, would they actually do that? But Match of the Day is such a key, important show for the BBC that I'm actually shocked that they would even think that it was even slightly appropriate to get rid of it or to get rid of Gary Lineker for what is just a tweet. I mean, I would have to say, you know, if it was clearly racist or sexist or it was hate speech, I think you'd have to reevaluate it. But I think it's unfair to have, you know, Andrew Neil and Michael Portillo on the BBC tweeting whatever they want to, and Robbie Gibb as well, and then completely fine, you know, and then completely unfair for Gary Lineker to say what he wants. I just feel like it's completely ridiculous. And even the people who I think love the BBC can't really defend this. you know, it's a shame to see. And I think there's a lot of people in number 10 who'd like to see the end of the BBC or a slimmed down version. And I think they've just helped them to achieve that goal, which I think is really sad. So one of the tweets that Gary was referring to was the ongoing refugee crisis. And this is what I can only describe to be a terrible take from Rishi Sunak, who's decided that MPs should vote for a law despite the fact that it might break international law and we might be taken out, we might have to leave the EHRC, and if you come to this country illegally, have no rights, essentially, which is just heartbreaking because people obviously, you know, make the terrible journey to come here just to, you know, just to get a better life for themselves and their families. And it's, you know, truly heartbreaking to see this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I think it's great that Gary spoke out about this. I think it's, you know, brought some attention to an issue and a situation that is, I think, often like swept under the rug by the media and, you know, only dragged out when, you know, it's to draw negative light to it. Very rare is it to, you know, feel sympathy and to bring, you know, any kind of hope to the refugees that are facing this, you know, awful humanitarian crisis. But no, it's, I mean, I you know, I've got very few things to say about it other than the fact that, you know, we should all be in defiant support of those that are, you know, fleeing whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, everything from, you know, famine and poverty, hunger, war, and natural disasters. You know, if someone needs to come here to you know, seek safety, then, you know, regardless of how they got here, we should be as the sixth richest economy in the world, we should be in a position to you know, welcome them with open arms and you know, provide them a safe place to live, what, you know, whilst they need it. But no, for me it's truly disgusting. And you know, in this day and age, it's absolutely not something that we should even be contemplating. You know, if they need a safe place to go, and other countries, you know, are welcoming refugees in their millions. I mean, I know Germany takes a lot, but, you know, in comparison, the UK is minuscule, and, you know, it's something to be ashamed of, really.
Yeah, I completely agree. One of the things that is so sad is just this idea that you can't claim rights if you come to this country, and I just don't think that's going to stop people from coming here. And it's so sad to see, you know, there's definitely a tough problem and it's been made worse, but I question really whether any of these laws are actually going to help and what realistically can be done in the next few years to help solve this problem whilst being as compassionate and caring as possible. I think that's something, you know, any government will struggle with, but this government, I think, has got it completely wrong. And I actually felt quite ashamed when I heard Rishi Sunak speak about the boats and, you know, just a terrible speech that you wouldn't expect to hear in this day and age from a leading politician.
Absolutely, I agree. You know, when I heard that, I was like, was this for real? But of course it is, because, you know, it's this Tory government. But no, it's just, it's one of those things where you sit and listen to it and you're like, is this for real? But no, it's just, you know, I think it says a lot about us as a supposedly world-leading nation. I think that, you know, the way that we treat our vulnerable defines us a lot as a, you know, as a nation. And, you know, if we're refusing to take people in on the status that, you know, they've come in here quote unquote illegally, then, you know, yeah, I think that says a lot about us as a lot about our government in particular.
It also occurred to me this week that this week marks 3 years since we went into lockdown.
Well, has it been 3 years already? That's absolutely crazy.
It's 3 years this week since we went into lockdown. How mad is that?
Absolutely insane. Wow. Definitely doesn't feel like 3 years.
That's crazy. What were you doing 3 years ago, Sean?
3 years ago, I was 17. I was at sixth form doing my A-levels.
Wow. Yeah. What 3 years it's been. That's crazy.
I know. Crazy.
That's mad. Brilliant.
Yeah.
What did you, do you remember, have you got like any memories of lockdown one?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Baking banana bread.
Banana bread, that was so popular back then.
Yeah, and watching people stockpile like toilet roll.
I remember the stockpiling. I remember that.
Yeah. yeah, it's mad to think that that actually happened.
God, could you remember like the banana bread and like stockpiling and the clapping for the nurses? Never actually got paid, but you know, clapped them anyway.
Yeah,
and
you know.
I remember this like you must stay at home, that Boris Johnson piece to camera.
Yes, like, yeah.
You must stay at home. That was like
absolutely.
That was huge.
Yeah.
But that was just unbelievable. And crazy. I think even reading these texts from Matt Hancock, I mean, you know, we can kind of see what they're beginning to get up to now, I guess. I don't think that's actually something we've spoken about on the show, but I guess it might be quite interesting just to quickly chat about those Isabel Oakeshott, Matt Hancock messages. Have you read any of them, Sean?
Yes, I have seen some of them. I kind of feel like, I think we've exhausted Matt Hancock. Matt Hancock on this show. we've talked about him a lot, honestly. I mean, what is there left to say? I saw one of them. It was a conversation he was having with, who was it? I can't remember. It might have been Gavin Williamson or something. I can't remember exactly what it said, but it's just, I'm sat there and I'm like, what else can this man have done during his time as health secretary, or, you know, even as MP? I mean, it's just, you know, we've got him going on primetime TV. You know, we've got him health secretary during, world health crisis and handling it abysmally. I mean, you know, it's just, he's jumping from one end to the other. And it's like, what's going on, Matt? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I thought that. I just really thought a lot of them. So first of all, I've got a problem with government by WhatsApp. I'm not too sure that's the best method of communication. And it's also worth noting for the journalists listening to this podcast, or anyone with a kind of keen eye on information, as far as I know, you actually can't FOI WhatsApps. So for example, Sean, if we're both working in government departments and we're both ministers and I WhatsApp you something, could be of national importance, but there's no way you'd find out about it. You can't have it under the Freedom of Information Act, which is just insane. Like, surely this stuff is I would argue, and Isabel Oakeshott argued, and I would agree, is completely in the public interest. And I think people need to know what was being spoken about at what time and when. I'm not too sure WhatsApp is the best way to communicate what is actually quite large and complicated thoughts. And I mean, look, you know, we, the three of us, the left wingers, we have a WhatsApp where we talk about when we're uploading things, but it's used on a weekly basis to decide when we're recording, and then so that I can broadcast when we've actually produced something, when we've uploaded it. But it's not, we don't make the big decisions. Every kind of big decision that we've made on this podcast, we've actually done it mostly by call, mostly by Zoom, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I think it's a bit strange that, and even like, I remember I've spoken to you and Ashan about things going on the podcast, like what we're getting up to, but I've done it either by phone or FaceTime. It's never been, we never used WhatsApp to make any major decisions. So off the back of that, I'd question why really they were making quite big decisions on WhatsApp. If you just think about how, I'm not saying we run this podcast really well, but I'm just saying, as a bunch of people trying to do something in comparison to another bunch of people trying to do something, I just find it a bit, and I'm sure there were meetings and there were emails and memos, but the fact that there are so many of them is just so strange,
for sure.
And I don't know, I'm in two minds about Isabel Oakes, but really I think if you put your someone said to me, if you put your head in a lion's mouth, don't be surprised when it eats you. And I think maybe Matt Hancock did do that with Isabel Oakeshott.
Absolutely.
So we were going to speak about the budget, but to be quite honest, not that much has been leaked of it. I doubt it will be as difficult as the last few have been for the economy. I think Jeremy Hunt will just want to want to stable and calm everything down. Sean, absolutely. Have you got any predictions?
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually. I think he's probably going to do that to try and, you know, take some of the attention and like the weight, I guess, off everything else that's been happening. Yeah, I'm going in blind with this one. I'm just gonna see what happens, but well, you know, it's a budget by this government, so you know, no major hopes up for anything particularly spectacular, but let's see.
Fair enough. One of the things I would note is I'd be interested to see if there are any, what year spending commitments begin and end, because they're coming into, you know, an election year. So next year will be an election year, which means they have to think about, you know, when they're starting programs, when they're finishing programs, when things are set to, when they think they might be able to cut inflation, when they think they'll be able to do it by. A lot of that kind of benchmark talking that they will do, and that's already happened. That's sitting in a box from Treasury. That's already been happening. The work has already been done on that, but it would be a nice timeline, and I think will definitely give the Labour Party an indication as to whether they're going to go for a May election or whether they're going to push it on down the year and go for an October election. Currently, my money's on October, but it depends mm-hmm. on. I think it depends on a lot of factors, and if they can get inflation down quickly this year, I think they might try and spring for a May election.
Yeah, that sounds likely.
And unfortunately, that's all we've got enough time for. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're now almost every week back in the top 100 on Apple Podcasts, which we are so grateful for. But we'd also love to be on Spotify and Google Podcasts in their top charts as well. The way we can do that is by using you guys at home or wherever you're listening to this podcast. We cannot thank you enough for all the hard work you've been doing, sharing and listening to our stuff. It really does mean the world to us. We're delighted to hear your feedback. All we ask is that you share it with a friend, that you like us on Twitter, you follow us, you download, you subscribe, you share, and just make sure you click one of those notification bells, which you can do on Apple or you can do on Spotify or Google Play. And the point of that is so you get notified every time we upload. We upload on Wednesdays, but we might be able to sneak in another one this week, and we'd love for you to hear it. Unfortunately, now we've only got one thing left to say, but I'm going to leave it to Sian to say it.
Keep whinging, show your sports girl a little bit, and we'll see you again.